Psalm 118. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 19 through 25. So if you're reading along and I start saying something that you don't recognize, because we're probably reading different pieces of Psalm 118. But Psalm 118, 1 through 9 and 19 through 25. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success. Oh, it's Thanksgiving week. My wife and I decided years ago that Thanksgiving would be the holiday that we would alternate the visiting of families. So, you know, my family lives in Buffalo, New York, and my wife's family lives in Flint, Michigan. And so this year we're going to Flint, Michigan for Thanksgiving. Next year we go to Buffalo and we alternate and we stay home for Christmas. If our family want to come visit us, they can do that. But Christmas we stay here. And so I've had the beauty and the joy of being able to experience both of our families for Thanksgiving. And over time, you know, my wife and I, we've been married nearly 19 years, 18 and a half years. And what you begin to learn as you visit different families is that, you know, families do different things. Now, if you haven't noticed, I'm black and my wife is white. Maybe a feature that you've glossed over a few times, but that means that when we go to Buffalo, we have black Thanksgiving, and when we go to Flint, we have white Thanksgiving. Now, if you're sitting there thinking that white Thanksgiving and black Thanksgiving is the same, you're wrong. At white Thanksgiving, I mean, there's some similarities, right? I mean, we both at black Thanksgiving and white Thanksgiving, we both have turkey. You know, at white Thanksgiving, you'll have turkey and mashed potatoes, and you may have a stuffing or dressing and green bean casserole. You know, this is white Thanksgiving. Casseroles do make an entrance at white Thanksgiving, and you'll have, you know, those are the basics you'll have, and you'll have desserts. You'll have pumpkin pie. You know, going to Chrissy's house, one of the things that the family looks forward to, her mother makes this incredible rice and mushroom thingy with the turkey droppings. And so that's a little, you know, addition to the Thanksgiving table. Huh? Drippings, I'm sorry. Yeah, drippings. That would make for a tart type rice if it was droppings. But so anyway, she makes that, and there's a pie store in Flint. I forget the name. What's the name of the pie place? What it? King Arthur's. Yeah, we order pies from King Arthur's. That's nice. White Thanksgiving. But then there's a black Thanksgiving. At the black Thanksgiving, there's turkey, and there's ham, and there's dressing, and there's mashed potatoes, and there's green beans, and there's collard greens, and there's lima beans, and there's corn, and there's black-eyed peas, and there's macaroni and cheese one, and macaroni and cheese two, and there's sweet potatoes, which is cubed up sweet potatoes and water and sugar, and then there's sweet potato casserole, and then there's corn, and then there's corn casserole, and then there's rice, and then there's just a whole lot of food, so much food that when people come to the table with their plate of food and they sit next to someone else, they look on their plate and they say, wait a minute, we have that too? There's just a whole different experience. But I didn't even talk about desserts. You know, we don't have pumpkin pie, right? We have what? Sweet potato pie. We have German chocolate cake. We have red velvet cake. We have vanilla pound cake. We have lemon pound cake. We have cheesecake. Church, it sometimes get ridiculous at Black Thanksgiving. I'm going to just be honest with you. There's just a lot of things there. Listen, Black Thanksgiving and White Thanksgiving. Not one is not one better and one is not as good. No, it's not that. Just different. But it's an experience. And you know what? This is one of the weeks that I love because we get to go experience, whether it's White Thanksgiving, Black Thanksgiving, Mixed Thanksgiving. We get to go experience that with our families. And so one of the things that we draw out of that experience is while we're eating our, you know, third piece of red velvet cake, we're understanding that there's a lot to be thankful for, isn't there? There's a lot to be thankful for. And I understand, let me throw this out there. I understand that, you know, some of us have families that we can gather around a table and just enumerate, you know, just hundreds of things to be thankful for. And not everyone has that experience. It's one of the reasons why I think Thanksgiving is a time where we should invite people into our stories and where we see the opportunity, where there are people who are disconnected from family, we invite them, even if it's just for a moment, even if it's just for that day, even if it's just for that meal, we invite them to be family with us and to give them perhaps a reason that year to be thankful. We celebrate eating at our Thanksgiving time. We play games, we laugh, we reminisce. It's a time to be thankful. As a national holiday, Thanksgiving is one, is a holiday that finds absolute resonance with the story of God and his people. The people of God have a rich and robust history of being thankful. I forgot to add, at Black Thanksgiving, we have chitlins. This is a time, Thanksgiving, the people of God have a rich and robust history of being thankful within the category of the Psalms that we have been considering, Psalms of orientation, and even in Psalms of disorientation, and even in Psalms of reorientation, there is a theme of thanksgiving. Psalms that speak out of the seasons of well-being. Those are Psalms of orientation. Psalms are songs that give commentary on the times of life that are just right. When the temperature is just right, when the family is good, when the soul is impervious to the pains of life. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. In thanksgiving, the people of God express their thankfulness and gratitude for the blessings of God. Blessing isn't exclusive to one item either. The whole of life is reflected in the thankful praise of God. You see, we thank God for life. We thank God for health. We thank God for people. We thank God for our spouses and our children and our siblings and our grandparents and our grandchildren and our uncles and I. We thank God for friends. We thank God for good fortune. We thank God for allowing us to survive during misfortune. We thank God for having clothes on our backs and roofs over our head. We thank God for the food that we eat. We thank God for the church. We thank God for worship in the church. We thank God for the ministry of the church. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for his word. We have so many things to thank God for. If you just take an inventory of your life, it may include all those things that I just said and probably 20 or 30 more. Add to the list what you wish. Know this, there are probably 10,000 reasons to give thanks to God, the God of the heavens. And the worship that we give to God is often marked by a thanksgiving that is contained within the collection of our songs and our worship practices. Think of the songs that we sing. The songs we sang this morning all have this theme of being thankful. Think about when we give our money in the offering plate. That's often in response to being thankful to God for what He has blessed us with. Think about the communion time. That is a time where we reflect on the blessing of God's salvation and the blessing of being united within the family of Christ. And we give thanks for the cup and we give thanks for the bread. When we come together, when we take inventory, when we look at our lives, we see that the community of God is a community that is wired to give thanks. Listen to King David, long, long, long time ago, as he is giving praise in front of the assembly. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it says, David praise the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Church, flowing out of our existence as creative beings is a spirit of thankfulness. And being thankful is part of the human experience, or at least it just absolutely should be. It is a part of our spiritual experience. It's something we learn as babies and young children. When we give young children things, or if someone gives our children something, what do we usually say? What do you say? And we teach them to say thank you. Patterns of a lack of thankfulness will drive us crazy, or at least it drives me crazy. I'm a pretty even keel guy. Not a lot of things that bother me. But one of the things that just really gets under my skin is when people don't acknowledge and say thank you. You're driving, it's a jam, and you've got the car that waits to the last minute to merge. Y'all know about that person. Some of y'all might be that person. But you wait to the last minute to merge. But look, I'm a nice guy. I'll let you merge in. A lot of people are not going to let you merge in, but you let them merge in. They don't wave at you. They don't, you know, flash. They do nothing. They don't just say thank you. You go to a store or you're at a restaurant. You're waiting and you open the door for people to come in, and they just look at you like that's your job. It's not really my job. I'm happy to do it. It would be nice if every once in a while you just said thank you. It drives me crazy when people don't say thank you. It would seem inappropriate and, dare I say, outside of the realm of God's kingdom to not have, as kingdom residents, as kingdom participants, a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. A couple years ago, I shared with you from the pulpit a series called The Gratitude Challenge. That was based on the work of a professor in California, Dr. Robert Edmonds, who did extensive research on gratitude. He studied subjects, people who lived a life of regular and consistent recognition of gratitude and those who didn't. And what he discovered was just fascinating. He discovered that those who are regularly grateful and show thankfulness as a part of their everyday life, they experience blessing that span physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. Those who were regularly grateful had stronger immune systems. It means that they didn't get sick as much. Those who were more grateful were less bothered by aches and pain. They had lower blood pressure. They were motivated to exercise more and take better care of their health. They were able to sleep longer and experience the benefits of good sleep just from having a consistent, regular attitude of gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness. They benefited psychologically. They had higher levels of positive emotions. They were more alert, alive, and awake. They had more joy. They were more optimistic and happier. There were social benefits. They were more helpful. Those who were consistently and regularly grateful, they were more helpful, generous, and compassionate. They were more forgiving. They were more outgoing. And they felt less lonely and isolated, and they just didn't bother people as much. It just seems fitting that the people of God, the community of faith, the Church of Jesus Christ, would bathe their experience in thankfulness and in praise. The Psalms have been preserved for us to experience God and to sing of our thankfulness and gratitude. And I want us to be prompted to be people who believe that they have been made to give thanks. I want to challenge you this week. Every day this week, I want to challenge you to start your day off by listing five things that you are thankful for. You may already be in a season where you're doing that. A lot of people in November, you know, just list 30 days of thankfulness. And so I thank God that you're doing that. But I want to challenge those of you who may not be participating in such a practice to wake up every day this week. First thing you do, get a piece of paper, get an index card. And I just want you to write on that piece of paper or that index card just five things that you're thankful for. Just do it every day this week. I've put together a little guide, if you like, that are out in the back. You can grab one of those, read Psalm 136. There's a couple questions there that help you through some time and reflection in the scripture. But take an index card, take a piece of paper, and just write just five things that you're thankful for every day this week. Or maybe, you know, you're a social media, you know, that's your spot. Go ahead and put it on social media. I would encourage you to, if you put it on social media, use the hashtag made to give thanks. Let's get it trending. There's a lot of things that we can get trending on the internet, a lot of trolling, a lot of all that stuff. Let's get something positive. Let's get something that's born out of our experience of gratitude and thankfulness. And let's begin to give thanks. A more thankful church will have, I think, a larger impact on communities. I think that a community impacted by a thankful church will become a more thankful community. A more thankful community becomes a kinder and more service-oriented community. And I believe those are the communities that people will be drawn to. You know, they'll say, you know what, I want to live in that community. I want to experience this community of thankfulness. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that we can transform communities by being more thankful and more aware of God's blessing, such that we respond in thanksgiving. To close the sermon this morning, I want us to stand, and I want us to read Psalm 136 together. Psalm 136 is meant to be shared in the community of faith. It is written for the leader to read a series of statements about God and for the community of faith to respond. So this morning, we will read Psalm 136. I will read the first statement of the psalm, and you will respond with the refrain in the text, "His love endures forever." Let's stand and let's read this psalm together, a psalm of thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Church, Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And brought Israel through the midst of it. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert. Who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. In Israel, they told a story. They told their story, and as they enumerated what God had done in the life of their story, they came back to God's love and they gave thanks. God may not have delivered us out of Egypt, but he has delivered us out of some stuff. Some of y'all in here have some stories. You probably shouldn't even be alive right now, but God delivered you. So give thanks to that God. Some of you have had some diseases and some conditions, and God delivered you. And out of that season, you ought to give thanks for God's goodness and his steadfast love. Some of you live lives that was in such opposition to God's way, but his light shined in your life, and you are now following him, and you ought to give thanks to him because he is good. Some of you met a person in your life that is making you a better person, and you've been with that person for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, some of y'all 60 years, and you ought to give thanks to God for that love and showing you that. Give thanks to that God. When you enumerate the stories in your life, when you enumerate the narratives in your life, when you start to take inventory of all the things that God is doing in your life right now, there are so many reasons to be negative and to be sad or to be disjointed or disconcerted, but there are 10,000 more reasons for us to be thankful for what God is doing in our lives right now. And so then let us, as the community of God, as the community of the faithful, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Let's pray. God, we give thanks to you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will continue to do right now, God. Overwhelm us with your Holy Spirit so that we would get caught up in this wave of gratitude and thankfulness. And God, I pray that flowing out of this spirit of thankfulness will grow spirits of greater appreciation, of better perspective. God, that it would fuel us in our mission, fuel us in our efforts to love you, God, and to love our brothers and sisters, to love our neighbor. God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for sustaining us. We thank you for feeding us. We thank you for putting people in our lives. We thank you for putting us in situations that will benefit. We thank you for showing us the way. We thank you for your word that gives us, feeds us, and directs us. We have 10,000 reasons, God. 10,000 reasons to give you thanks. Father, overwhelm us. Continue to saturate us with your presence. And I pray that songs will emerge out of our hearts, will flow from our lips, songs of thanks. We give you praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.